Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm here today with my colleague, Priscilla Weigel. Welcome, Priscilla.
Hi, Cindy. Good to be here.
And we are so excited to have a special guest today, Nicole Fretham. And Nicole is here from the Minnesota Department of Human Services, representing the Child Care Assistance Program. You are the policy specialist for Child Care Assistance. And we are so happy to have you here to kind of unpack some questions for child care providers who may be listening, or center staff who may have questions about child care, the subsidy program, and other components of that important program that serves low-income families in Minnesota. So we are so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. Really happy, because I know that sometimes this has a lot of questions around it, and so to have someone who just knows how to answer those questions, this is going to be helpful to our listeners. So we appreciate your time.
Well, great. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So maybe we could just start by having you give us an overview of what the Child Care Assistance Program in Minnesota is.
Sure. The Child Care Assistance Program is a public assistance program that helps families with low incomes pay for child care. There's some rules around it, and it's really a combination of four sub-programs. So for our families that are receiving cash assistance through the Minnesota Family Investment Program, or MFIP, they have allocated funds to receive child care assistance to help them in their support for work activities and pursuing work and education. We also have a basic sliding fee program, which is not fully funded, so each county receives an allocation, and two of our tribal nations that oversee child care assistance for their area, they receive an allocation of funds each year, and in some cases, it's enough to meet the needs of everyone that applies. In other counties, it is not enough, and there are waiting lists.
Okay.
Generally, the program, if the family is income eligible, and to be initially income eligible, you have to have a family income of under 47% of the state median income for your household and family size.
Okay.
So if you meet that income eligibility and you have eligible children, so children under 12 or under 15, if they have a documented special need, and then you also need to be engaged in activities that support work. So either employment of at least 20 hours a week, involved in approved education activities, or looking for work.
Okay.
So there's a lot of qualifications to be approved for the program, but once you are approved and eligible, and if there's funding available, the Child Care Assistance Program can pay your provider for child care. Payments are typically made directly to the provider,
okay,
unless you have a special approval to have care provided in your own home.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And just to clarify, every county has the same process, or it looks the same, so the rules are the same for who's eligible.
The rules are the same for eligibility, for the most part. In some counties have a little bit of freedom in how they administer the program. An example of that might be, in some counties, if you are engaged in job search activities, so you're getting child care to look for work, some counties may ask you to fill out a log, and other counties may not.
Okay.
So there is some slight variation, but those initial eligibility criteria are the same across the state.
Okay. And are some counties, do they have waiting lists?
Yes, some counties have waiting lists. You can find that information on the Department of Human Services website,
our
child care assistance page. That's updated every month with the latest numbers that we've received on waiting lists. We still encourage families, if they're in that area and think they qualify, to call and add themselves to the waiting list, because it's the only way to document the need for the people who could increase funding.
Sure, great, yeah.
But once you're on the waiting list, the county is responsible to update that list every 6 months, so they usually check in with families and ask them to let the county know if they still are interested in child care assistance, and another brief check-in just on just generally how much income they're getting and whether they're engaged in activities. It's not a full eligibility determination. They just do a check-in to see if it seems like the family may be eligible.
Well, Nicole, okay. This is so interesting. Are there also priorities if you're on the waiting list?
There are. There are different priorities built into the waiting list, and counties can add their own, but there are priorities for families who have been on the cash assistance program and are no longer on it. Priorities for families who have moved between counties and are moved to a county that has a waiting list when they were previously receiving child care in another county.
So they would go up to the top of the list or get services?
They would be closer to the top of the list. So there's different built-in priorities.
Okay.
There's a priority for families where a parent is a veteran.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So there are a few different priorities built into that, and then counties could set their own priorities after the state mandated list.
Okay. Helpful to know for the people listening.
Sure.
The important point is they need to check with their county
Human Services office. And there's also, if you don't know what your county Human Services office is, there's a list on the Department of Human Services Child Care Assistance Program website where we try to list all the county offices.
Good, okay.
In some cases, in some areas, counties may subcontract with another agency to actually administer the Child Care Assistance Program.
Oh, okay.
But if that's the case and you contact your county and say you're interested in child care assistance, they would be able to refer you to that agency. But we would also have that on our website.
Great. Okay. And we'll try to remember when we write the description for this to put that link to your that page you're saying.
That's great.
We will keep it. Who are interested.
Well, and that's so helpful to know, too, that if you're moving between counties and you're used to having that assistance, I'm sure it is frightening to think, oh, I'm going to move to this area. What's going to happen now? How am I going to be able to afford the child care that I was getting helped with?
And it's important in that situation, if you're on child care assistance, that you're contacting the county agency that's currently processing your case and let them know that you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to contact the new county that you're going to be moving into within a certain amount of time, and you'll get a notice on that, and let them know that you're moving and you want to continue receiving child care assistance. So there is if you're on the cash assistance program, that case will move with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to worry about losing funding or anything. You still need to report to the agency, especially if you're going to be, changing your address, changing your provider. That's information that they need to know to make sure the notices are going to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are on our basic sliding fee program, so you're not on any sort of cash assistance and you haven't been on cash assistance, if you move to a county that does have a waiting list, that's a risk that that you won't have long-term funding. So there's a period of time that will definitely be covered under what we call unitary residency, and your old county is still responsible for paying some child care after you move for a couple of months. And then there is a pool of funding for families that move that would continue care for another 6 months.
Okay.
And hopefully in that time you'll move off the waiting list if you've been moved to the waiting list. But in some counties, waiting list wait times are beyond even that 8 month period.
That's what I was going to ask, because I'm sure that is, and it truly depends on the county, but
it depends on the county, it depends on funding levels, it depends on how they administer the program. So
not to chase a rabbit hole, but I'm curious if a family does not have a permanent residence.
So if the family were perhaps homeless,
then what is the situation?
It varies. So in some cases, for example, if a family has is in a shelter, counties typically they've experienced that before, and we have a question on the application for families to indicate if it's not a permanent residence, in which case it would be Where would you consider your county of residence to be? So if you were sleeping in your car, where do you typically have it? We know in some cases for some of our families in transition that is an issue, and we're hoping to be able to do more for families who are homeless in the future.
There are some provisions
this session that the legislature is exploring to make it easier for our families who are homeless to receive child care assistance.
Mm-hmm. Right, because how critical for those kids to have that consistent place to go to every day when life is so chaotic otherwise.
Absolutely.
So.
For the most part, you know, one's residence is where they tell us it is. Mm-hmm. We do ask for verification, but if you're, you know, in your car and you don't have that, that you can attest to that verification. So their counties are used to dealing with those sorts of questions, and
okay.
and the caseworker and financial worker can help you.
Could you, if you were a family and you lived in one county and you had child care in that county and you were moving to another county, but you were going to retain that child care setting, can you use the funds in another county even though that child care is not in the same county?
It's a good question. Absolutely. Okay. So the way it works for providers is providers need to register with the county agency that's servicing the family's child care assistance case. So if I'm a provider in Ramsey County and I have a family that lives in Hennepin County that wants to use my child care, it just means I need to register to receive child care assistance payments from Hennepin County.
Okay.
And I could also be registered to receive child care assistance payments from Ramsey County and Dakota and Washington. In fact, as a provider, when I was a provider, I think I was registered in about 7 or 8 counties to receive
okay.
payments from.
Okay.
And then you would still be as the provider. So one piece is the how much you'll be reimbursed. So CCAP, or the which is what we sometimes call the Child Care Assistance Program. It's our abbreviation.
Mm-hmm.
There are maximum rates set for each county. So there's a certain amount that we can pay, the most we can pay for child care. So child care assistance can pay you the maximum of your rate or the maximum rate set by our program, whichever is less.
Okay.
So currently the rates, our rates aren't, won't cover 100% of provider charges based on our research. But if you are a provider in one county, you'll get paid your county rates regardless of what county the child is coming from.
Okay. Great. And I had another question about that. It's so interesting. I know people listening because it's complicated.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And you've already given us one great resource, which is to go to the DHS website.
Yeah.
I know we also at the Center for Inclusive Child Care have some resources
mm-hmm.
for providers. They can go to our website and look under tip sheets and also info mods for some information on the subsidy program. But I was also going to ask you another question now, maybe if I could think of it for a second.
Well, we could also address it in our next part because I think this is a good time to kind of wrap up this
mm-hmm.
discussion and move on to some other questions that we were going to address in part two.
Yes, this has been great, Nicole. I know that there's been some really great answers for people who are out there listening who maybe they've thought about, oh, I know what I was going to ask you, but who have thought about maybe they serving a child and they think, oh, I wonder if the parents of this child know that they could qualify for the special needs rate and or for the subsidy program. And I think that's the part that's difficult for providers sometimes is just, you know, not even knowing
right.
for sure how to approach the family or if the family even knows about it or if the provider knows about it or
mm-hmm.
how we get information to the provider. But you were talking about being registered in several counties. Is that a difficult process?
You know, for licensed providers, it's not difficult at all. There's a registration form that needs to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same for each county, and just each county that you're registering with needs to get a copy of that form.
Okay.
And then registration happens every 2 years for each of those counties.
Okay.
So you complete the form for them.
Okay.
For providers that aren't licensed, it's for license exempt centers. It's also fairly straightforward completing the form for legal non-licensed providers. So that's if you were having a family member or a friend or a neighbor who doesn't have a child care license but is willing to watch your child. They can be reimbursed by the Child Care Assistance Program, but they also need to register. There's a few more steps for them. There's a background study and some training that they
mm-hmm.
need to document. But there's no one else overseeing that. So,
just before we close this, with the CCAP program,
mm-hmm.
the CCAP payment goes typically directly to the child care provider. Is there still a fee then the parent will typically pay to the provider as well?
So based on the family's income level, so the Child Care Assistance Program will look at what the family's income is, and they'll be assigned a co-payment So for some families with very low incomes, that co-payment may be zero. Other families, a lot of our families that are also on cash assistance, their copay might be $0 or $2. It can be very low, but it could also go much higher. So there is a copayment. Also, I had mentioned that the CCAP reimbursement rates don't cover the full cost of most providers' tuition rates. The provider can choose to ask the family to pay the difference. So that's something you'd want to talk to your child care provider about. You know, what is their rate? You know, will you charge the difference in that rate and what CCAP pays to me? And consider that in conjunction with the copayment that the family must pay.
Great. And can I ask one question kind of to just maybe wrap things up, but so thinking about that, are there in your, you mentioned your research of, you know, you polling providers out there who are using this rate, do you have a lot of providers who are not getting additional money from families and still providing care based on just that CCAP rate? Or
so, you know, I don't know that we've asked the specific questions. We have a market rate survey that comes out every couple of years, and we really encourage providers to give us to respond to that because it helps us set our rates and communicate to people what child care costs in our community. I don't think we've asked how many of them charge that difference. So it's hard to say. Some providers do and some don't. It's something they'll need to talk to the families.
The families about. Yeah. Thank you very much. As an extension to this, now in our next podcast with you, we want to talk about the special needs rate, which is part of the child care subsidy program. So thank you so much,
Nicole.
No problem.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Look forward to part two.
That's all for now.